Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We are here on a Thursday morning, ready to get back into the divisional swing of things. We were going through the teams, the different divisions, starting with the AFC, going through the, I think we went through the North, the South, and the East. And we talked about the offseason outlook for all those teams, Trevor. Now we switch things over to the AFC West. Would you say this is the best division in the AFC?
Yes.
Somehow it's between this and the South, which was forever the laughing stock, but
yes.
I think I would agree because I'd agree. But Oakland Raiders, not one of those teams that you fear. They're one of the teams that holds you back from saying that about AFC West.
Hold on. I'm literally still thinking about your question. Do you think the Broncos are better than the Titans?
No.
Okay, so then it's a debate.
It is. But I think Kansas City and LA are better than Houston.
And Indy. I would say both.
The Chiefs are better than Indy.
But that's what I'm saying. Like the one and the one are better with the West. The two and the two are better in the West. But then like the three, and I would even probably say the four are better in
Agreed. The
South.
We would have to get some type of algorithm and get points
team in the division. You tried to just set up this softball question to segue into the
podcast. Now it's derailed our whole thing. I can't get it out of my mind. I'm not going to be able to talk about anything else. Let's start talking mathematics. How do we set this thing up?
Somebody get the Pythagorean theorem.
Get it going. We won't know what it is, so just go ahead and tell us anything and we'll buy it.
Where's the slope-intercept formula, please?
Oh, my. That just threw me back, dude. That just tossed me back in time. To an era of pain. Mathematics. Let me tell you this. I've never told you this before. Not many people know this, but I was horrible at math. It just was not natural to me at all. My whole entire tenure in college, guess how many math classes I had to take?
In college?
Yes. My major was communication, sports broadcasting, sports journalism. Guess how many math classes I had to take in college?
Well, you're bringing this up, so I assume it's low. So I would guess, I'll just guess two for fun.
Zero. I took college math before I got out of high school. So I was done when I got there. No mathematic credits required. It was amazing. I had to take a math placement test when I was there. That's it. My junior year or something. It was like to make sure I could still multiply like 3 times 2 and stuff like that. I probably barely passed, but I passed. So. It's not my thing. Anyway,
all right.
Back on the topic at hand here, let's talk about the Oakland Raiders. Speaking of math, here's guys that gave $100 million for 10 years to a terrible head coach. No, I'm sorry. Did that trigger you?
No, the math checks out.
You have a soft spot for John Gruden.
Of course, forever. Yeah.
I feel like that deserved more respect than I just gave it. But the reality is that the Raiders suck and they lost all their good players. So that's not a great spot to be in. Here's the list of things the Raiders need going into the offseason, Trevor. Everything. Right?
Yeah, there's
is that even a lie?
I'm trying to think like, haha, you're joking, but for real.
Let's just look on offense, right? To start things off. Jordy Nelson.
Bad.
Seth Roberts.
Bad.
Dwayne Harris is a free agent. Brandon LaFell is a free agent. And good riddance. Marcel Aitman's here. Remember him?
Yeah. Wasn't he the guy who Kiper didn't even have ranked, and Mel Kiper ranked like 44 wide receivers?
Yes. There's a lot of great Marcel Aitman stories from the pre-draft process. He's also the guy that our boy Uncle Tony said would run 4.45 and jump 40 inches at the combine. He was supposed to blow the doors off. That's what he said like the week before the combine. He's going to run 4.45 and jump, I believe it was 40 inches, or maybe it was 42. It was something insane. Here's what Marcel Aitman actually did. Stand by. It's not close to those numbers, in case you're wondering. Marcel Aitman ran 4.62 and jumped 34 inches.
Uncle Tony, man.
In the 13th and 34th percentiles wide receiver.
Tony.
I got a kick out of that, man. I was like, because I remember reading it. And I was like, 4.45. I watched this guy on tape. I was like, what was going on? Man. But, well, when we get to Tim Settle, we'll have to tell that Uncle Tony story. That one's even better. Tim Settle was supposed to destroy the combine. He couldn't even walk. It was amazing. So there goes the wide receiver group for the Raiders. Obviously,
he couldn't even walk.
Obviously, you saw it. Tim Settle was falling all over the place.
I didn't correct you.
It was do the karaoke through the bags or whatever. Dude was just falling on his face every rep. I was like, this is so painful. The worst combine performance I have ever seen in my life. It will never be topped. It was unbelievable. Like Orlando Brown, everybody laughs at him. Nah. Like, at least that dude could walk from point A to point B. Tim Settle.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because going into the combine, I know for a fact that two GMs, y'all can probably guess one of them since I know it, two GMs were like, hey, keep an eye out for Tim Settle. Like, Tim Settle, he's like, he might go crazy at the combine. Like, dude moves so well for his size. All this kind of stuff. Like, watch his tape, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, okay, all right. And then that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hilarious though. By the way, he lost a ton of weight since he got in the NFL and he looked good. Like didn't even look like himself. Honestly, this past season, I was like, who's that guy he's
pretty
good.
Backhanded compliment I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know.
You just said he looked good. He didn't even look like himself.
Right. Right. But true though, you know, like one of those things when I say that, you probably knew exactly what I meant. Right.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, because he wasn't good.
Right, at all. He's on the right track. Anyway, we've now spent 7 minutes on this podcast, and we haven't actually talked about anything. So here we go. The Raiders wide receiver group, bad. The tight end group, Jared Cook's a free agent. Plus, he's old, and let's just be honest. Jared Cook last season was not the Jared Cook we've kind of come to know throughout his career. So maybe he continues along that path, but I kind of doubt it. Donald Penn's probably going to be cut. So you have Brandon Parker and Colton Miller. That's kind of got to be your tackles, right? Is that the one spot we can say the Raiders are definitely not taking anybody high, right? Colton Miller, first-round pick. Brandon Parker was like the first pick in the third round. Those are big investments. For a team that's rebuilding, those are guys you choose for starters.
Yeah.
I don't think they address tackle.
It goes back to the – like you and I have talked about the when you have capital invested kind of a thing, and they've got capital invested, so –
Right. I think that's the biggest thing. When you're a team that you know you're going to rebuild, and Gruden's known they were going to build from the ground up again, you have to look at those position groups and say, I'm going to trust the process with these. Like, I drafted these guys. I'm going to trust the process of their development, and we're going to invest in other places. And then if we come back in 2 or 3 years and they're not anywhere with their careers, then we address the position again. But right now, I feel like you got to ride with those guys. Maybe get a veteran in the offseason or something like that, but you got to ride with those guys. Kalichi Osemele's still under contract. I know he's kind of wasn't falling off a little bit, maybe. Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, all those guys still under 30 right now and still really pretty good players, I think. So maybe offensive line's the group, you know, that you don't touch. But quarterback's certainly under the spotlight at the very least. Running back is a need with Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin, both free agents. And I don't think either guy is one you want to give money to long term. So running back's on the priority list. Defensively, there's a ton of needs. Obviously, edge pass rusher, you're probably okay on the inside. Linebacker's been a need here for so long now. I got to think that's a position they want to address at some point. But with the list of other needs, need another corner opposite Kerryon Conley. You know, Carl Joseph was benched most of last year. Then at the end of the year, he started a couple games, and Gruden was like, this is a guy I want to build around for the future. It was like, what in the world? Like, nothing makes sense in Oakland, so I'm trying to incorporate that into my analysis here, but they don't have another safety, so just a ton of needs for Oakland across the board. Almost no way they can go wrong in terms of addressing a certain position group early. The question becomes, what do they do, Trevor? They have 4, 24, and 27, I believe, in this draft. So where's the priority lie? If you're them, you know, don't think about so much who's on the board at that point, or maybe incorporate that second, but like, what are your priority position groups that if you're the Raiders, you have to get a quality player at these three position groups, or maybe two if you're double dipping somewhere. Mm-hmm. What are those positions that you look at and you say, these are the spots, I've got to get players at these spots?
I mean, it all has to start with Derek Carr, obviously. It's whatever you think of Derek Carr, because if Gruden, and we don't really know, we've heard rumors like, oh, you know, he doesn't get along well with Derek Carr. Derek Carr's not happy in Oakland. I know he signed the contract and they're kind of like on the ropes for it a little bit. But if you don't have a quarterback that you want, you don't have a quarterback that you want. You've got to be able to do something with it. And so it all starts with the assessment of what they really do think of Derek Carr long term, because the four key positions in football, offensive tackle, quarterback, corner, and edge rusher, they have three of those potential needs if you count the quarterback as one of them. And if you do, then you're taking a serious look at a quarterback at number four. But if you don't, which I don't think they will.
And here's my other part of my question. Do you think any quarterback fixes this franchise at four? Because if not, wait it out, right? You got 10 years. It's not like there's a clock on this thing.
Yeah, but I don't think it works like that. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to make – John Gruden, for as much as he likes getting paid, obviously, John Gruden hates to lose. So if he legitimately thinks that he's going to lose with Derek Carr, I could see them trying to draft a quarterback. But going back to kind of what I was saying there, I don't ultimately think that they're going to pick a quarterback high. I think they'll pick one eventually, but – I think it's going to be an edge rusher that's probably going to be their top pick there at number four. Or, like you said, linebacker, if they love Devin White, I could see Devin White being there at number four. So I really think
four.
It's going
to be, oh, man, I can't. Here's where I push back on that.
You don't think it could happen, though?
I'm talking about what they should do. So, like, no.
Oh, okay. I'm taking an edge rusher. For sure.
If like, what are the positions you believe is what I'm saying they should address? Like, what are the spots you got? Because, like, to me, you need as many things as the Raiders need, man. Like, screw linebacker. Like, I'm not even touching. Like, maybe if he's there at 27 and you love him. But I'm thinking you need edge pass rushers, maybe two of them. I don't even care, depending on what you think Arden Key in the offseason.
No, I'd pick edge top. To like edge be on top need at number four, and then I'd pick corner with the next pick.
Yeah.
I mean, probably corner with the next pick. Unless maybe Nasir Adderley's right there, and then I think about it. And then I'm taking kind of that last first round pick could be a wild card. Like if you want a quarterback to upgrade it, you can, but like I would probably pick a linebacker at that point. But
I'm not taking only place I'd consider taking a quarterback's four. If you haven't taken one at four, unless somebody were a crazy fall or something like that, I'm not taking one late. Like, I hate that crap. Like, you take your guy. Like, if you need a quarterback, go get the best guy in the draft. Like, more than likely, he's not going to be there at 24 or 27. You know what I mean? But either way, you know me.
If Kyler's there at 24 or 27, I'd take him.
You know me. I'm out on the quarterback group. I'm not taking no risk on Kyler Murray. Not until we get way closer. I can abridge this statement he is not bought in. Like, he's not bought in. I can't take that risk.
Okay. Sure.
I'm way too scared.
Sure. I'm with you. I'm with you there.
So I'm out on the quarterback group. I'd rather ride with Derek Carr and die with Derek Carr this season, you know, because he's not going to be the guy, but I just don't believe anybody else is the guy either. Like, I want to find the guy. And if he isn't in this class, I don't want to take somebody just because I technically need a quarterback. Like, you have Carr, you paid him. He's not like a total joke or anything like that. He's just not good enough to get you to the next level. Ride with Carr, build the rest of the team around him. I'm taking an edge defender. I'm taking a wide receiver, a playmaker anyway on offense, wide receiver, tight end, whatever. I'm taking a playmaker on offense. And, yeah, I'm probably getting a corner. You know, possibly a safety if the corner group, there's a run on him early because I don't like the corners. But, yeah, you got to find a defensive, a difference maker in the defensive secondary. So maybe that's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You know, a guy that's vocal, loud, and something like that. You know, maybe it's somebody like that. Maybe they see it as a John Abram, you know, an enforcer type with great tools that needs some work in coverage. But I'm not necessarily saying the guy. I'm saying those are the spots. Like,
Carl Joseph.
Do they have him? Like, I mean, I don't know. They benched him for Reggie Nelson.
But I'm saying, like, you're just going to draft Carl Joseph again?
Well, here's the thing. Is Carl Joseph even going to be here? We don't even know that, you know?
Right, Gruden, but then you're replacing him with Carl Joseph?
Well, I think they're hoping that he's a better version of Carl Joseph. I mean, obviously, John Abram's, like, way bigger than Carl Joseph. So, just from a...
So,
I think that's the hope. But, I mean, getting what you thought you were getting in Carl Joseph, I'm not saying that's happening. Carl Joseph had better college tape than John Abram. I don't even know what's... I'd love to see Carl Joseph somewhere else, by the way. But that's another conversation for another time. But that's my outlook for the Raiders, anyway. That's how I'm addressing... With all those, remember, you got an early second rounder too. So come back with another wide receiver, get another offensive playmaker. Like, if you're take the best offensive playmaker at 24 or trade back from 4 and take him. But you need a playmaker and then you need another one. You need to get two guys that make a splash, because right now, zero people on this offense make a splash. Not even close. Even if you bring Jared Cook back, I'm not putting him in that conversation. Sure, last year he had a good year. I cannot see that continuing for him. Plus, he's older, so you can't count on him when this team's ready to peak. You need guys who are going to be ready to peak in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And you got to get playmakers. I think that's absolutely essential for the Raiders. Get playmakers in at the wide receiver group and in the secondary with those late 2 first-round picks and the early third. That should be the priority, I think. So that's how I'd address things for them. Let's move on to the Denver Broncos, sir. I mocked them an offensive tackle. One time. It was probably maybe two mock. Maybe it was a December mock that I did. Broncos fans lost their minds. Jared Valdir played great last year. Garrett Bowles is the future still at left tackle. Garrett Bowles hasn't been well. He did do better during the second half of last season. I agree they need to let him ride it out for another season. But you got to start to get a plan in place at the same time. Jared Valdir is going to be 32. He's been hurt in his recent career. Finished the last 2 years in Arizona on IR. He's not very good, so I don't know and now here we are, fast forward 2 months, and I've had like Broncos fans asking me about offensive tackles every day. I'm like, I told y'all, like, this is a big need for your team. So I'm putting offensive tackle up there as a big need and a consideration in the first round. I don't know how to feel about this Drew Lock stuff, dude. Like, this is getting ridiculous, right? Like, everybody and their grandmother saying that John Elway's going to pick Drew Lock. That just seems like... seems like too obvious, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, something's going on. Something's fishy's going on there. I agree, it's his type. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, that's why.
Right. So maybe everybody's just connecting that basic dot, but it's been like the reports, like John Elway's enamored with him, but it could just be people talking.
Albright said it too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he said it multiple times.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody said it.
Albright knows the Broncos, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's very possible. I think that's the position, obviously, that everybody's going to be watching for Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to take a quarterback? But I don't know. I mean, I think they will. If you're asking me right now, gun to my head, like, what are they going to do? I would say they're going to pick a quarterback. But at the same time, I could see them addressing offensive tackle. There's a lot of good right tackles in this draft, and I could definitely see them taking, like, a Jawan Taylor or Cody Ford. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
That'd be a good pick for him.
It kind of goes back to what you were saying about Derek Carr. Like, if you are wishy-washy about it and you think that you could be, like, okay with Derek Carr, you ride with him. It's the same thing with, like, Keenum. Like, if they for some reason think, like, we have him under contract, we're paying him the money, we can get another year out of him, then you do it. But if you in any way don't want to, you have to take one with your first round pick.
Sure. Right.
You can't wait. Oh, for sure. There's no point in waiting.
There's not even a question. You're taking one at 10, or you're moving up for one, or you're not taking one.
Right. So then, like, if quarterback is in the conversation at all, then that's the only position they're going to target, you know?
Right. I agree. If that's the need and he likes one, that's it. You got to go get
the
guy.
So, like, I'm with you with a couple of the O-line guys that you named. Like, they could be good for the Broncos. But I think at the end of the day, like, if they're at all hesitant about a quarterback and they're going to take one, like, even if they would be like, oh, yeah, that offensive line would be really nice for us, it'd be a good piece, they can't take it. They have to take a quarterback.
And remember, we're not just talking about you know, the draft as being able to fulfill these needs for these teams either. I think we're talking also about free agency. So quarterback is obviously a need. Denver's going to either fill through the draft or just stick with Case Keenum. But offensive tackle, that's something to think about. You know, if right tackle's going to be something that they look to in free agency, there is a decent tackle crop actually right now that's supposed to hit free agency. I don't know whether it'll actually pan out and end out that way because a lot of those guys get brought back. But I think that's something to at least keep an eye on with that group is if Denver decides to dip into that. But those are considerations. I don't know. Like, obviously, like if a Quinn and Williams were to fall, they would. But it's too far. 10 is never going to happen.
There's no way.
Right. I know there's all those teams that need edges at the top of the draft. And then there's a couple teams that need quarterbacks. I don't think a little slides out of the question, but he ain't getting past Tampa, right? Like,
oh, I don't know. God, Tampa, I would hope not.
Would Tampa take two defensive tackles 2 years in a row?
I mean, do they want to win or no?
Questionable, actually.
You know, can't, you know, I would, again, rebuttal, but I can't. Yeah, I mean, I think Tampa is under the impression, though, at this point where they're just like they will take the best player. Right. And I've got to think that it's either going to be Quinnen Williams or an offensive tackle.
Right.
Like whoever they like the best. So,
sure.
But well, I mean, we'll get to this out.
Right. I think Denver, you know, honestly, if you're looking at first round, I think it's either you're taking a right tackle or a quarterback or I guess corners in that. I mean, Bradley Roby's a free agent. Chris Harris, there's been a talk they might trade him. Then corner becomes a huge need. So those are probably the only spots I'd consider in the first. And then in free agency, I think it's the same thing. You know, you're figuring out what to do with Bradley Roby coming off a year where he wasn't very good, to be honest, but he's been pretty good 3 years before that. So
it's just so hard to – I just think it would be so hard for a guy like John Elway to pick a position that's not really going to make him any better. Like, they had, and this is sometimes just the way that the cards fall, but, like, for example, like, they have Roby and they have Harris. If they lose them, like, let's say they lose Roby and they want to draft, like, let's go with Greedy Williams. I don't care. Let's just talk, like, Greedy Williams here at this spot. They're going to replace a corner with a corner, and they were bad last year. So, like, I just have a hard time thinking John Elway is going to make a move like that. I just don't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No. So are you saying, like, wouldn't Greedy be making them better at that? Like, it's either some, you know, Isaac Yiadom as a third rounder starting.
No. I'm not saying they would be better without him. I'm saying that they were bad last year. Like, the team did not do well.
So you don't think Roby's back is what you're saying?
But I'm saying if Roby leaves and they do something like draft a corner to replace him.
Yeah.
Then they're spending first round capital just to get to where like they were last year.
What if Williams is better?
But I don't think that like the replacement of him versus Roby is that much of a difference.
Okay. Well, maybe in their mind, I would tend to agree with you on paper, but well, I think that just those are all three critical positions. I mean, right? You finding another offensive tackle, finding a cornerback, and finding a quarterback. You know, those are three.
I think I'm just debating the fact that, like, yes, I'm with you that they have those needs, but, like, I can't see them, one, doing anything other than quarterback if they don't believe in Keenum, or two, at the very least, going offensive line if they don't pick a quarterback. Like, I just think that even though they might have strong needs on the team, I don't think they're even going to be in consideration for the first round. I really don't.
Interesting thing to consider, too. They've got Mike Munchak in place now. Mike Munchak developed the Steelers into an unbelievable offensive line, made Marcus Gilbert into a really good player after he looked pretty bad early on in his career.
Go Gators.
Had some ethic concerns coming out of Florida, and then just a totally different dude under Munchak. I mean, the transformation's unbelievable. And there's some talk maybe Gilbert could get released by the Steelers. It's a possibility, 1 year left on his contract. I think that could be – you could see Denver go that route. Pick him up, and they'd be set at the tackle position.
Funny,
so something funny, to keep an eye on.
Funny random story about Marcus Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
My friend's birthday was coming up, so a group of us were like wondering what to get him, and we all went to UF. And the sport, like the athlete Letterman jackets, like you can't get anywhere. They only give them to the athletes. Like you cannot buy them anywhere. And I found one online and my friend's like a bigger dude. So I found one online that was his size and I bought it. It was like a couple $100 or whatever. And it was Marcus Gilbert's Letterman jacket that somehow was floating around for sale. And now he has Marcus Gilbert's Letterman jacket from UF.
Wow. That's funny. Is he getting, I mean, like,
Very random story, but
it is random, but that's a great story though. That's funny. Okay, the Kansas City Chiefs. What are the needs here? Not much.
Defense.
On offense, honestly, I mean, I think adding another playmaker is always something I consider. I love when teams that are high-powered and run a lot of explosive personnel can continue to add talent. I love it.
They still have they have Sammy Watkins.
That is true. He is good. I will never take an L on Sammy Watkins.
Hey, man,
there's too many ways out. There's too many excuses. You know what I mean? His foot was hurt. Like, you know, like he missed so much time. Like, they don't throw him the ball enough to really get a feel for
it. Where did you have Sammy ranked?
He was wide receiver one that year, which looked great. And I mean, his first couple years were good, but Sammy Watkins' numbers his first couple years in that offense with that quarterback play. Have you seen his numbers?
Yes.
They're freaking nuts. He was really good. And then the injuries just, I mean, took their toll, and confidence has played a big issue. I mean, he's talked about it. He's like a totally, you know, different person. He is really
kind of cut his dreads, dude. His
personal journey's kind of intro. But yeah, his first year was like 65 catches, 982 yards, averaged 15 yards a catch and caught 6 touchdowns. And remember, what was a pretty pathetic offense. 60 catches, over 1,000 yards his next year, averaged almost 18 yards a catch, and had 9 touchdowns his next year. Then he was hurt the following year after that, only played in 8 games, still averaged 15 yards a catch, and then has been this kind of bumpy road. I mean, he caught 8 touchdowns in L.A., but you know, he's always been an explosive big play guy, just getting him the ball, but until last year. But I think the best could be ahead for him in Kansas City still. He's only 25, you know, like, feels like he's been around forever, right?
That's crazy.
He's only 25. I mean, I'm sure he'll be 26 in June. So, I mean, like, he's still young. I just still think his best football – I mean, he in Kansas City, I think he could still be a nice piece for them. And obviously they paid him, so he's going to be around there. But we digress. You're right. Defense, don't even worry about the offense. They'll find a running back in the third day of the draft who will be a baller. Defensively, man. I feel like you've got kind of your interior guys a little bit. Obviously, keeper option open there. But Justin Houston, while I'd like to still see him around, is aging, and D Ford's a free agent, and you'll probably tag him. But how does that situation work itself out if he's not a fan of the tag? I think he will be. I think he'll be fine with it. But, you know, they drafted Breeland Speaks in the second round. But what do you do with a team that takes a guy in the second round that should have gone in the seventh? You know what I mean? Like,
jeez.
Like, do we just, like, say, oh, they took Breeland Speaks, so we're good? Like, I don't know if you can do that, right? Like, I mean, they took Tano Passanya on the second in 2017. He's going into his third year. It's time for him to peak. Like, neither of those guys are that kind of player, right?
I think Tano was a healthy scratch, wasn't he?
Forget that, man. Like, I'm out on that. But let's say D Ford's back, because I think he's back probably on the tag. Justin Houston's back. Speaks is back. They'll probably draft an edge at some point, but it isn't going to be early. Hitchens is here for big money, unless there's an out on that contract. I haven't looked at it. It's got to be secondary, right? It's secondary all the way. I mean, they need corners. They need
if you hope, they pick really late, so, like, you hope. But, like, Byron and Greedy aren't going to be there.
You would think
that,
yes.
So then you're picking – I don't even think Nasir's still going to be there.
So maybe DeAndre Baker –
yeah.
Maybe Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Maybe you're looking
at... I mean, you could either get ballsy picking Chauncey, or you're basically like flipping a coin between Amani and DeAndre Baker.
I don't think Arwarie is going that high. I don't know if Baker's gone, to be honest. That's what I'm saying, though. I can't even... Let's just say this. Chiefs fans, I'm sorry. I can't give you a name right now at the back. I know I could mock to you. Like, I could mock Julian Love or just give you the top corner. But if you're asking me in reality what corners are going to be on the board at this point in the draft, I have no clue. I really don't. I don't know. So this corner group is hard to figure out because it is hard to get super excited about many of them. And
we've got to see combine with a lot of these corners.
You're going to see guys who test well, like Kendall Sheffield and Lonnie Johnson and some guys like that move up the board no business being there on tape.
Wait. Lonnie's going to KC. Mark it down.
He might. It's a possibility. Steve Spagnuolo is there. I mean, does he get past Pittsburgh at 20?
Remember this podcast.
Does he get past Pittsburgh at 20? He is like the most – if he tests, I think he will.
You better hope.
beat Dessa.
You better hope.
I do hope, but I prepared myself, man. Like, they took Terrell Edmonds in the first round last year. Like, I'm ready. They took Artie Burns in the first round. I am ready to get hurt again. Can't wait. All right, so Chiefs fans, you know you're picking a DB. We just can't tell you which one because we don't know. Sorry. Chargers. This is a fascinating team every year. When do they go for the offensive tackle? I feel like we've been here for a couple years. They let go of Barksdale. Do they think Sam Tevy's going to start here long term? What the heck is going on with Forrest Lamp? I heard he's starting.
What is going
year.
On? What is going on with Forrest
no
Lamp?
No one knows, man. Like, it's like a
I
big
love
mystery.
Forrest Lamp.
I know. He's so good. He was like my 12th player in that class. Somebody told me this. I think our boy Mike Peterson told me this when I was in Mobile. He said that what he was told was that they really didn't want to mess up the chemistry because Michael Schofield was having a career year at right guard, and he had gelled with Mike Pouncey coming over. It was new while Lamp was still getting to 100%, and then they didn't want to mess up the chemistry there, and Lamp had done most of his reps at right guard, even though he played left side in college. So dumb reason still. And Dan Feeney's bad at left guard. Either way, Forrest Lamp starting next year. I don't know that they touch offensive line, but other than tackle, maybe? I don't know. They're hard to figure out. You know what we always do. We always say, draft a defensive tackle that can rush the passer. So you can get that guy, Bosa, and Ingram together at the same time.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be freaking awesome. This team has had interior defensive linemen that
you
have no idea who they are for a long time.
Who's going to be there?
Maybe Simmons, maybe Wilkins. Both those guys are possibilities.
Yeah.
Tillery, yeah. Draymond Jones. Those are all possibilities.
I don't love Tillery, man.
I don't love him either. Yeah, I haven't finished his eval yet. I don't think I love him, but what I've seen, I don't love him. But for them, maybe it's a possibility, you know, throwing out realistic names.
Can't wait for him to draft Dexter Lawrence.
We know they don't care. Yeah, oh my gosh. We know they don't care about linebackers. Dexter Lawrence actually probably the player they'll draft. Brandon Newbane's a free agent.
That's why I said I can't remember. Yeah. The guy can't wait till they do it.
It's going to happen probably. It'd be so disappointing. I mean, they already took a safety last year. I don't think they're going to take one again. They'll probably bring back Adrian Phillips. Adai signed a good contract there. They play a ton of three safeties. Tons of three safeties.
I know, but they ran like six safeties, and that's why they couldn't handle New England.
But that's also why they beat Baltimore. So,
all right. So,
just depends on the team, I guess. depends on the fit.
Get him a linebacker, please. God.
They are really kind of in a best player available type of situation, though. I mean, Desmond King and Casey Hayward at the corners. You'll lose Verrett, but Trevor Williams played well last year. Michael Davis has played well. I don't think corner's a big need, but I don't think you can ignore it either. You know, I say linebackers, they've had just average linebacker play for a long time. They don't seem to care about the position. You're obviously set at edge rusher. They're hard to figure out, honestly. The Chargers, I don't think there's a crying need on this team, to be honest with you. Like, I feel like this is a team that go a lot of different directions.
Okay, but why did they get absolutely run over by the Patriots, and why couldn't they stop it?
I actually did not see the game, so I really honestly can't answer the question. was the day I was traveling.
I wasn't watching a ton of personnel stuff, just kind of like watching the game as a fan, but I felt like they were trying to play their hybrid safety looks a lot. And granted, the Patriots just run the ball on everybody, so it's kind of like, all right. But
yeah, why did anybody lose to the Patriots? I can tell you why. You know, I don't think it's anything that's wrong with the Chargers per se. You know what I mean?
I guess, yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to condemn everything they do because New England beat them.
I just thought, like, they just got killed because they couldn't stop the run.
Yeah, which honestly is New England runs so many different schemes all in one game. It's honestly incredible how many, like, it's hard. It's a lot to digest. And if you're a safety trying to defend that, good luck, man. Like, it's just hard. You know, I don't even think if you're a linebacker, it's, you know, they necessarily would have been different results, but. So anyway, maybe you're right. Maybe linebacker is something they need to invest in even more, but is that going to happen? I don't know. Denzel Perryman's a free agent too. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was about, it feels like he's not been there that long, but here we are. He and Kyle Emanuel, both free agents at that linebacker position. So, maybe Hayes Pollard as well. So maybe we'll see some changes and shifts there in LA at the linebacker position, but there's kind of our analysis of how it might all go down. this offseason. The Chargers, maybe a wide receiver in the later rounds of the draft, too. That'll be interesting to see. Who would have thought that?
Later, but, though.
Yeah, but Tyra Williams is going to be a free agent. Travis Benjamin probably gets cut. You have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, but they run a lot of through wide outs. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who they pick up at that spot. But anyway, there's our thoughts on kind of the AFC West and the direction those teams could be heading in this offseason. For the AFC South and the other divisions in the AFC, the North and the East as well, go check out podcasts over the last couple weeks, or last week, I think, that we did. They covered all of those. As always, we appreciate you guys listening. And go head over to iTunes, leave us reviews and ratings. Really appreciate that this time of year in the throes of draft season. Lots of awesome stuff coming up for you to finish off the week, and obviously going to be moving into to episodes getting you ready for the combine as well, which we should have that list dropping any day, that official invite list. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.